The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Happy belated Ascension Day. The Feast of the Ascension, in case you were wondering, happened on Thursday of this past week. Ascension is a major Christian holiday commemorating the bodily ascent, I use the word too, of Jesus going up into heaven. Now, it occurs 40 days after Easter Sunday, after his resurrection, representing the final event of Christ's earthly ministry. Now, Ascension is one of those feast days that you can move to Sunday and things of that sort. And so we're going to be talking today a little bit about the Ascension, but the theme is more about God's glory and power in the midst of suffering. Anybody have any suffering? Yeah. Okay. Now, my mental picture of Jesus' ascension has changed since I've come to Christ the King 10 years ago. Now, you probably have seen the ascension pictures, Jesus fully robed in white robes with his hands out to the side, being lifted up in the clouds as his disciples look on up into the clouds as he disappears into the heavens. That is what we read in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning. But then I came to Christ the King, and I couldn't help be influenced by this beautiful cross that is behind us with the ascending Jesus on it. My view now is that Jesus was the first Avenger. He looks like he's Iron Man going up into heaven. And so I consider him the first Avenger, going through the clouds very fast, where his disciples do not see him any longer. Why do I make this point? other than because I can and I'm up front. I can't tell you how many questions I've had on our beautiful cross. Some people say, is it a crucifix? And I said, no, it represents, because a crucifix is when Jesus is nailed to the cross. This depiction of Jesus is the ascending posture with the cross in the background. Notice Jesus is kind of in front of the cross. He's not connected. Well, he technically is on this one, but otherwise he'd be, never mind. But anyway, he's not nailed to the cross, and this is my word. And so it represents our Christ the King cross. It represents the ascending King, Jesus, into his glory in heaven. Now, glory, I think glory we often imagine as splendor and power and success and maybe ease, I don't know. We picture the resurrected Jesus ascending in power, leaving behind the shame of the cross. But the Bible presents a different kind of glory. A spirit of glory, as Peter puts it, that does not always shine brightest on the mountaintop, but often shines clearest in the fiery furnace. That's what Peter's words were, and we're going to get to those. But it reminded me of a story that comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, from Daniel chapter 3. Now, those of you probably remember this story. It's about when the Jews were exiled into Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that story? Where three Jewish men, they're Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Well, you may know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's one of my favorites. I don't know why it's such my favorite story from Old Testament, but it is one of my favorite ones. They refused to worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar said that everybody would worship. And because these three men would not worship the golden image, they were believers in the one God, they were sent into the fiery furnace. Three of them were sent to be burned up in the fiery furnace. But what happened in that fiery furnace, as King Nebuchadnezzar watched, thinking they were going to burn up, four were in the furnace. Three went in, four were in the furnace. We don't know who that fourth person was. An angel, maybe Jesus himself. But three went in, four were in, and because they weren't burning up, Nebuchadnezzar had them brought out. And the scripture tells us that they did not die, obviously, because they came out of that furnace, but they were not hurt at all. Not even a hair on their head was singed. They even make a point to say they didn't even smell like smoke. That's pretty amazing. Three went in, four were there, three came out. King Nebuchadnezzar recognizes the Jewish God because of their protection in that fiery furnace. He gave glory to God and vowed to protect the Jewish people. You see, in fiery furnaces, sometimes God's glory shows bright. Today we look at two passages. I was going to do, not usually preach on the gospel reading, but today the Acts reading and Peter is what spoke to me. Today we're going to look at those two passages that connect the ascension of Jesus with the suffering of his early church, his suffering of his church in period. We will see that when we are broken, when we are insulted for our faith, and when we feel helpless, we are not forgotten. We are, in fact, covered by the Spirit of glory and of God. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples asked a reasonable question of the risen Jesus. They said, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? The disciples wanted a political, immediate, comfortable glory. They wanted Rome gone and they wanted seats of power. Jesus responds by shifting their focus from the timing to the empowerment. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The Spirit of glory is not given to make us comfortable, but to make us effective witnesses, even to the ends of the earth. Jesus leaves the disciples and when he leaves at the ascension, and left them with a promise and a command to wait and a challenge to pray. After Jesus' ascension, we see the disciples return to joy to the upper room with women, the women followers of Jesus, to wait and to pray. That upper room was a place of uncertainty, yet it became the launching pad of our Christian church. The Spirit rests upon those who are waiting on the Lord. If you were here last week, you may remember I told you that I would tell you why we needed the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells us why the Spirit of glory is so important. Turning to 1 Peter reading, Peter writing to the believers, ongoing severe persecution, echoes the idea of waiting and endurance. He tells the followers of Christ, "Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Who knows, maybe Peter was thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sometimes we feel that we are all doing God's will. Life would be easy, right? Peter says the opposite. Suffering is the test of our faith. In our modern culture, we use this term, trial by fire, right? I wonder where we got that phrase from. Who knows? But a trial by fire is describing a difficult, high-pressure experience or test, often involving being thrust into a new situation without adequate preparation. I think sometimes the early disciples, it was trial by fire. Nobody had done that before, and they were learning along the way. It measures a person's ability to perform under extreme stress, requiring them to learn quickly and endure and change direction, often compared to the phrase sink or swim, right? They were doing a lot of that in the early church. The fiery ordeal that Peter talks about isn't a random pain. It's a purifying fire, just like gold is purified in a furnace. The church is purified by trial. The enemy wants to destroy us. God wants to refine us. But the trials and suffering we endure for our faith is not to just endure for enduring's sake, but to share the glory and blessings of God through the Spirit of glory. Peter says it this way, "But rejoice insofar that you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reveled by the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you." Just like the Spirit of glory protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and the early Christians that spread the good news of Jesus Christ, the same Spirit protects us today. When the world insults you, God does not look away. Instead, Peter says, the Spirit of glory rests on you. This is a special, profound, and powerful presence of the Holy Spirit that comforts us in our shame and in our tests. The Spirit brings us power for the future resurrection into the present suffering that we deal with today. The disciples in the upper room were looking not at their weaknesses. They were waiting and praying for the Spirit. Peter says, do not be ashamed of being Christian, but glorify God through your actions. If you are going through a trial, if you are being mocked or you are feeling weak, know this, you are not alone. The same Spirit that brought Jesus through the cross to the ascension is resting on you right now. And our readings from Acts and 1 Peter remind us to wait for the Spirit's power. But we already have that Spirit's power, don't we? Rejoice in sharing Christ's suffering, as 1 Peter tells us. Let us not shrink from the hard times, but embrace the Spirit of glory that makes us strong, firm, and steadfast in our faith walk. And if you want to hear more about the Holy Spirit and the miracle of Pentecost, well, you're going to have to come back next week. Amen.